Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Monday, April 14th, and coming up in today's episode, BJP attacks Trinamool MP over alleged call to violence in Bengal. Fugitive Mehul Choksi arrested in Belgium. Saif Ali Khan stabber's alleged reason for the crime. And China halts rare metal exports to US as Trump issues yet another tariff threat. Bengal BJP President and Union Minister Sukanta Majumdar has strongly criticized Trinamool Congress MP Bapi Haldar over controversial remarks made during ongoing tensions in Murshidabad. Haldar allegedly threatened to gouge out eyes and break limbs of anyone attempting to take over Waqf properties in the aftermath of the Waqf Amendment Act. Mr. Majumdar also condemned the state police for not taking action against the MP. The unrest began on Friday in areas including Suti, Dhulian, Shamsherganj and Jangipura, leaving at least 3 people dead and several others injured. 18 police personnel were hurt in the clashes and are currently receiving treatment in different hospitals. Though no fresh violence was reported on Monday, the situation remains tense. Authorities have imposed prohibitory orders under Section 163 of Bharatiya Nagarik Suraksha Samhita, or BNSS, in affected areas. Internet services are still suspended and security checks continue along key roads. In a video that has since been circulated on social media, Bapi Haldar is heard saying, and I quote, "Till the time Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee is there, the responsibility of your ancestral assets is as much ours as it is yours. It is not anyone's father's property. If someone dares to eye Waqf properties, gouge out their eyes and break their limbs." Reacting to this, Mr. Majumdar accused Haldar of inciting violence. In a post on X, he wrote, quote, "Bapi Haldar, the Trinamool MP from Mathurapur constituency, has issued a terrifying threat to gouge out eyes and break limbs. What action has the crippled, cowardly West Bengal police taken against this individual for directly inciting brutal torture and violence against the helpless, innocent Hindus of Murshidabad by these fundamentalists?" He alleged that petrol bombs were being thrown at Border Security Force personnel. Police officials, however, said the situation is under control. A total of 180 people have been arrested so far in connection with the violence. The police stated there is no report of any untoward action or incident. Police deployment is there and we will not allow any form of nuisance to disturb peace. Meanwhile, many affected by the violence have crossed the Bhagirathi River into Malda district. Authorities have set up shelters in schools and provided food and support to displaced families, with volunteers helping those arriving by boat. Fugitive diamond trader Mehul Choksi has been arrested in Belgium. Indian authorities are aware of his arrest and are using all available legal measures to secure his quick extradition, sources have said. Choksi, 65, is wanted in connection with the Punjab National Bank fraud case involving over Rs. 13,000 crore. He was arrested by Belgian police on Saturday and is currently being held in custody. His lawyer, Vijay Agarwal, confirmed the arrest and said they would challenge it in court. He also said they would oppose any move to extradite Choksi to India. Agarwal told reporters, "My client is not a flight risk. He is extremely sick and is undergoing treatment for cancer. These health concerns will be presented as part of the legal case." Choksi and his nephew Nirav Modi are both accused of defrauding Punjab National Bank in 2018. The CBI, Central Bureau of Investigation, and ED, Enforcement Directorate, are investigating the case. The fraud allegedly involved fake letters of undertaking and foreign letters of credit issued through bribes to officials at PNB's Brady House branch in Mumbai. Both Choksi and Modi left India in January of 2018, shortly before the scam was made public by a whistleblower from Punjab National Bank. Choksi later obtained citizenship of Antigua and Barbuda through an investment program. In 2021, he went missing from Antigua and was later found in Dominica, where he was arrested for illegal entry. A CBI team traveled there to bring him home. However, Choksi's lawyers argued in court that he needed medical treatment in Antigua and would return to face trial later. After 51 days in custody, he was allowed to return to Antigua following a ruling by the British Queen's Privy Council. The charges in Dominica were later dropped. In recent years, Indian agencies continue to track Choksi's movements. Last year, they located him in Belgium and alerted the authorities there. Reports suggest that Choksi has been living in Antwerp with his wife Preeti Choksi, who is a Belgian citizen. He allegedly submitted fake documents to obtain a residency card and did not disclose that he was a citizen of both India and Antigua. He was arrested while trying to flee to Switzerland. In December of 2024, Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman told Parliament that assets worth ₹2,565.9 crore linked to accused like Choksi had been recovered or sold to help repay debts. Choksi has also offered to cooperate with Indian agencies via video link, but the request was not accepted. Following his arrest in Belgium, Indian authorities are now actively pursuing his extradition to face trial in India, where he committed his alleged crimes. The man accused of breaking into actor Saif Ali Khan's home and stabbing him during a robbery attempt wanted to steal ₹30,000 to get a fake Aadhaar and PAN cards, according to charge sheet filed by Mumbai police. The accused Muhammad Sharifull Islam Shehzad told police he had entered India illegally from Bangladesh with the aim of eventually securing an Indian passport. He said it is easier for Indian citizens to get work visas abroad compared to Bangladeshi nationals. He planned to first obtain Aadhaar and PAN cards using forged documents and then apply for Indian passport. The incident took place on January 16th at Khan's residence in Bandra. The actor was stabbed several times and was bleeding heavily when rushed to Leelavati Hospital. He was later discharged after 5 days. Shehzad was arrested 3 days after the incident from Thani. He was caught in the actor's home's security camera. Police said Shehzad is originally from Jalalkot district in Bangladesh. He crossed into India illegally 8 months before the attack. He first stayed in Kolkata for about 15 days before travelling to Mumbai by Gitanjali Express train. While in Mumbai, Shehzad worked at a hotel and had taken a leave on 15th January. He told police, quote, "I was not well and I needed to get a PAN and Aadhaar card made," unquote. He added that someone had agreed to arrange the fake documents for ₹30,000. To gather the money, he planned what he described as a small theft. According to the charge sheet, Shehzad entered the building next to Saif Ali Khan's residence and climbed onto the roof. From there, he jumped into the actor's building and reached the upper floors using the rear staircase. He cut through a security net and accessed their air conditioning duct, eventually entering house through a bathroom. Inside the home, he saw a nanny on her phone, another caregiver asleep, and Saif Ali Khan's son Jay sleeping in bed. When confronted by the nanny, Shehzad demanded ₹1 crore. At that moment, Saif Ali Khan entered the room and tried to restrain him. Quote, "I stabbed him to escape. I stabbed him on his back and arms. Then his grip loosened. He pushed me onto the room and locked the door," unquote, Shehzad told police. He managed to escape through a window, climbed down using a pipe, changed his clothes and fled to a nearby bus stop. Later, he went to Bandra station where he remained until his arrest. China has halted the export of several rare earth elements, metals and magnets, escalating the trade tensions with the United States. These materials are crucial for manufacturing in industries such as defense, electronics, aerospace, electrical vehicles, and consumer goods. These are all the results of Trump's tariff wars. According to the New York Times, the Chinese government is currently drafting a new export regulatory system. While this framework is being developed, shipments of these vital magnets have been stopped at many ports. Once the new rules come into effect, they may block supplies to specific companies, including American military contractors. China produces nearly 90% of the world's rare earths, a group of 17 elements used in a wide range of high-tech applications. The suspension includes 7 key heavy earth categories such as samarium, gadolinium, terbium, dysprosium, lutetium, lutetium, scandium, and yttrium-related items. These have been added to China's export control list. On 2 April, Beijing introduced restrictions on rare earth exports as part of a broader retaliatory measure after the US increased tariffs on Chinese goods to 54%. The export ban applies not only to raw materials but also finished products like permanent magnets. These are difficult to replace and are used in electric motors, missiles, drones, spacecrafts, and various other electronics. Now, any export of these metals and magnets from China requires special licenses. However, the licensing system is not yet fully functional, causing delays and uncertainty. Industry experts are concerned that current global supplies outside of China may soon run low. Although the restrictions apply globally, not just to the US, they are being seen as a significant challenge to American manufacturers, including companies like Lockheed Martin, Tesla, and Apple, which rely on Chinese rare earths in their supply chains. The US has only one rare earth mine and limited stockpiles, which are not enough to support long-term demand, especially in defense. President Donald Trump, however, has responded by defending his tariff strategy, stating on social media, and I quote, "Nobody is getting off the hook, especially not China." He said the US would launch new investigations into semiconductors and entire electronic supply chain under national security laws. U.S. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick also confirmed that electronic devices recently exempted from tariffs would soon fall under new semiconductor tariff within a month or two, aimed at reshoring production and reducing reliance on Asia. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrap, now compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify, and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anviti, signing off.